Let's pray as we do. Father God, I thank you, Lord, for your word, your truth, manifesting now then in and through our lives in Jesus' wonderful name. Have your way, Father, that each one of us would leave here knowing that you've ministered to us, and as a result, our lives have been impacted. Have your way, Savior, in your wonderful name then. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, look, I want to talk about kingdom. I want to talk about kingdom for several reasons. But briefly, I could say this, that as I've been looking at things in the world, looking at the situations going on in the world, some of the things are hard to imagine, hard to believe, you know. And the news that we get fed and all the things going on, you know, it points one way. But when you scratch the surface, you realize that there's deception, corruption, all manner of things going on. It's as if the modern world in so many areas is just a tissue of lies. The modern world in so many areas is a tissue of lies, folks. And I started to think on this, and I started to realize that, yes, as the modern world is a tissue of lies, what we have is a kingdom. It's a kingdom of darkness, and it's set against God's kingdom. Now, it's very important that we get this. If we get this, Jesus promises the keys of the kingdom to us. But we have to understand this. To understand this, it helps understanding our worldview and what's going on. Watch this now. Let's go, first of all, into... let's say the Lord's Prayer, Matthew 6 and 10. Matthew 6 and 10. It says, and Jesus is saying now, Matthew 6 and 10, he's teaching, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is probably the most famous prayer ever prayed. It's the most famous prayer. Everyone in the world, it seems, knows this prayer. Christians, non-Christians alike. This is the most quoted prayer. And right in the center of this prayer, Jesus is teaching, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. His will is being done in heaven. Jesus is teaching people to pray that the same manifestation will take place on planet Earth. Now, that's quite something. We go to the end of that prayer. Let's go to the end of that prayer. And again, it finishes with kingdom. It says, but deliver us from the evil one, for yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we see kingdom straight away is right there in Jesus' teaching, central to what Jesus teaches. Now then, watch this. What is kingdom? Well, I looked up kingdom, and in one of the definitions it says that a kingdom is a place in which... there is a set of governances, rules, expectations, and the like. The United Kingdom, for example, has a Commonwealth realm. There's 16 sovereign states. Australia, for example, Barbados, Canada, Grenada, Jamaica, New Zealand, Papua New Guinea, etc. If you go to one of those countries, the likelihood is if you have an assembly in one of those countries, they're still going to be teaching about Great Britain. And they'll still be singing God Save the Queen. There'll be aspects of the United Kingdom manifesting in those countries, despite the fact that those countries have a different culture altogether. The United Kingdom, that kingdom realm, impacts into those countries. And sometimes in a very powerful way. I heard someone say that from the Bahamas, to say that the English influence was such that even on the hottest day, he was still wearing a collar and a tie. He'd got into that habit. So the kingdom impacts in such a strong way, you see, in the natural realm. Now, what Jesus is saying to us is this. And notice he teaches kingdom. He's not brought in religion. He hasn't come saying, look, here's something new for you all now. You believe in me, salvation through the cross. And what you do, you come into church and then you take these steps and you have this ritual, this service, and you know, then you leave and then this is what it's all about. It's this religion called Christianity. Christianity is not mentioned in the New Testament. I mean, Christianity isn't there, folks. And when the word Christian is mentioned in the New Testament, it's only mentioned by an accusation. It's an accusation that, oh, those lot, they're like Christ. Jesus didn't say, get involved in the religion of Christianity. He talked about kingdom. He teaches us the kingdom realm. And I tell you what, I think the church has lost it. I think the church hasn't understood this. The church has had a completely different emphasis. Now understand this. There's a war taking place between the kingdom of darkness and the real kingdom of his dear son. And the kingdom of darkness tries to impact and influence our thinking. And so the question is, whose influence are we under? We have to make a conscious decision to be under the influence of his kingdom, to have that kingdom manifest in our lives. Every kingdom has a constitution. The constitution of the United Kingdom is the sum of the laws and the principles that make up the body of the United Kingdom. From the very beginning, Jesus made it clear that the principal need of the human race and the only solution to mankind's issues was the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 4, verse 17. Jesus begins to teach. And this is what he says. He says, repent. And what does repent mean, folks? In the Greek, the word repent, metanoia, change of knowledge. Change of knowledge. It's called very often change of direction, but actually it's not. It's a change of knowledge, which will result in a change of direction. But in the Greek, it's a change of knowledge. It's saying, I'm going to think differently. I got a different way of thinking now. Why have you got a different way of thinking? Because I'm in a different kingdom. I was in the kingdom of darkness. I thought a certain way. Now, my knowledge, repent, change of knowledge means I adopt a different type of thinking. I'm under a different kingdom. If you grasp this, folks, I promise you that you'll read the Bible differently. If you can grasp this, if you get a hold of this, you'll be reading the Bible with anticipation. You'll be reading it, you'll be... Oh, you'd be thinking, oh, I wonder what's in store today. I wonder what I'll find out today about my life and about my rights and my privileges. Because you see, we have rights and privileges in the kingdom because we are citizens of this new kingdom. But if we don't understand what our rights and privileges are and the kingdom realm that we are now under, we don't act on those rights and privileges. But God is saying to us, listen, I want you to have repent. I want you to have a change of knowledge. Change of knowledge. And then you can enter into that realm. Jesus' announcement was the arrival of the kingdom of heaven. And that was his solution. But you see, I think we should just examine briefly that the difference between kingdom and religion. The power of religion lies in the ability to serve as a substitute for the kingdom. Let me repeat that. Listen, the power of religion lies in its ability to serve as a substitute for the kingdom. Religion is very popular, folks. The Christian religion is very popular. Christianity is very popular. But how is it that in Christianity, the same amount of people get divorced as in the world? How is it in Christianity that there's the same issues, the same problems affecting people as in other religions? Name a religion, and basically, it's the same. Now, anthropologists have said that there's a need in every human being to worship God. They've looked at all peoples all around the world, there's a need to worship, and they formulate some kind of religion as a result. But Jesus came, and he didn't come to give a religion in that sense. He came teaching kingdom. And this is why I think we need to have a shift in our thinking and get away from the understanding of I'm in this religion, Christianity. It doesn't mention that. Mention that you're a citizen instead. Think of it like this. I'm a citizen of a different kingdom. And the connotations will be different. Because as soon as you mention Christianity as a religion, all sorts of things, pictures come up in your mind. Churches with big spires and, you know, and all manner of things come into our thinking. But when you mention kingdom, it's different, isn't it? Different things come into our thinking. So I think we need to start thinking along the lines of kingdom. Watch this now. The difference between religion and kingdom. Religion preoccupies people until they find the kingdom. Religion prepares man to leave earth. The kingdom empowers man to dominate earth. What do we just read in the Lord's Prayer? What did it say? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Religion reduces the gospel of Jesus Christ to heaven. Oh, it'll be good over there. I don't care about this world so much. I'm not so, you know, but oh, there it'll be great. You know, there it'll be great. That's not kingdom. Jesus is teaching us kingdom, and kingdom impacts in the here and the now. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But it's on earth. It's now. The third difference we could say is religion focuses on heaven, the kingdom focuses on earth. Religion is reaching up to God, the kingdom is God coming down to man. Religion wants to escape earth. Have you seen these religious nutcases? There's plenty of them around. All different religions have them. They want to escape earth. Because they're in the kingdom of darkness. Religion wants to escape earth. The kingdom impacts, influences, and changes earth. And that's what God's called you and I to do, to be earth changers. Jesus addressed the religious leaders of his day so strongly. Turn with me to, please, Matthew 23. Matthew 23. Verses 13 onwards, I'll read here. He says this, but woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. And let me just tell you that the scribes and the Pharisees, in many ways, were the good guys of the day. See, we lose it. We think, oh, they were nasty. They were the bad guys. No, the point is, they were the good guys of the day. They were the ones who were involved in religion. They were the respectable, dutiful, religious people and leaders of that society. They were the ones in charge of the charity. Oh, they were the leaders of charitable giving. Those folks were the good guys. And he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For you neither go in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayers. Therefore, you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Oh, Jesus could speak clear, couldn't he, folks? Who's looking forward to meeting Jesus one day? Jesus, the real Jesus, was a man of power, a man of clarity, a man of strength, not some soppy, weak-willed love, anything goes, oh, we're gonna, oh, I'll tolerate you, oh, I'll tolerate anything you want. Oh, let me have tolerance. Oh, whatever happens, I've got to have I'll tolerate you. Pharisees and scribes, you're such lovely people. He didn't say that, did he? He says, woe to them. He hits them with a bang. Jesus is a man of power and strength and clarity of thinking. A man who preaches the kingdom. And a man who calls his followers to deny themselves and follow his teaching. But the church has invented a religion, and they've called it Christianity. And sometimes, folks, it has nothing to do with the kingdom. Nothing to do with the kingdom. I tell you this, you could be someone who attends church all your life and know nothing about the gospel of the kingdom. Just been a dead, boring church. Dead. No power. No Jesus. No miracles. But when Jesus is around, things change. Because he's a man of power. He's a man of strength. Man of victory. But you see, what religious folks do is they invent their own Jesus. They'll invent a Jesus that makes them feel comfortable. And they'll stick him up on a window. He's a Jesus that they feel comfortable with. And, you know, if it's in the West, he'll have blonde hair, little curl like that, and a lady's nightgown, and he's floating 3 feet off the ground with an angelic look on his face. I mean, people can, if they made a video of me be walking like this. No, that's not Jesus, folks. He's a carpenter. He's a man who turns over tables. He makes a whip and he whips them out. This is a man of strength and power. This is a man of miracles. And this is a man of love. This is a man of love. This is a man who really loves people. But he loves them so much, he's not going to allow them to be duped or sold short with the lies of another kingdom. He's not going to do that. He's a man of strength and power, but he is still a man of love. I know, and I'm so happy to know the love of Jesus. And he is so tender. And he is so beautiful and so gentle with us, isn't he? Of course he is like that. But that what I'm saying is that's not the whole picture. And what I'm saying is for us to really understand kingdom, we've got to understand it in balance. And understand that Jesus is the one who now lives in us. And when he says the kingdom of heaven is in you, What that means is, let me give you a summary of kingdom. Kingdom could be summarized like this: the will and rule of God. You could summarize it like that. So when you talk about kingdom, or you think about kingdom, it's the will and rule of God. So God's kingdom in me is the will and rule of God in me. And what's the will and rule of God? That I submit to him, that I yield my life to him. His kingdom manifests in and through us when we yield to him. Can you see that? And when we yield to him, that's when our lives have an impact. And they're designed to have an impact. This isn't a weak kingdom. This is a powerful kingdom of Almighty God. In the kingdom of God, our most powerful asset is our faith. It's our faith in Jesus Christ. Here's what God's constitution, and see, when you understand kingdom, you start reading the New Testament as a constitution. The United Kingdom has a constitution. Those 16 countries that are part of the Commonwealth must adhere to the constitution. You and I as Christians, to be part of the Commonwealth of God, we will be part, we'll share in every part of the Commonwealth, so long as we adhere to the Constitution. Watch what the Constitution says. And let's turn next to Galatians 2:16. In Galatians 2:16, just coming up to closing on this morning, but this is the most important part of the introduction to kingdom. Galatians 2:16, the Constitution says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, which would be religion, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law or religion. For by the works of the law, or religion, no flesh shall be justified. Faith is the power, the authority, the force at work in the kingdom. Let's go back to the book of Matthew here, quickly. Just going back to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9. And verse 27, it says, when Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out, saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were opened. And a few verses forward, it says in 35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the... What was the gospel that Jesus preached? Kingdom. The good news was about the kingdom. Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. The kingdom manifests in those ways, supernatural ways. And if you go the next chapter, Matthew 10, for example, Matthew 10, let's go to verse 5 there. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Interesting. They started off not with the Gentiles. Sounds like Jesus was being a little bit prejudiced there. Have a think on that, please, folks. The direction of God is according to God's will. And his timing knows nothing about political correctness. He designated a people, and it was the Jews first. And that's just the way it was. But who are the chosen people of God now? Those who believe, the believers. Hallelujah. Are you a believer in Jesus this morning?
Amen.
If you are, you're chosen by him. Hallelujah. You've been elected. There's an election going on, folks. And there's an election took place. And if you believe in him, you've been elected. Now, what person elected to a position doesn't then go to the office and make use of all that that position has given them? I mean, if I went into politics and was elected to an office, let's not say the European Parliament, let's say the British government, and was going down there elected, I'd have an office. You could go in, there's a secretary there, you can make use of all that you're given to your elected office. Well, now we've been elected to an office in the kingdom with rights and privileges, and there's a constitution. And when we recognize this, we start reading the Bible with an excitement because we're thinking, oh, this is for me. Hallelujah. This is for me. Yes, I'm in the kingdom. I've been elected. This is part of my rights and privileges. And now I'm going to walk in it. And let's read what it says here in Matthew 10:5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter into a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom.'" This is his message, folks. This is the message that Jesus gave them. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Once a person embraces the centrality of the kingdom, the word of God comes alive. The scriptures that you once failed to understand will begin to come clear in your understanding, and they'll be transforming. Remember what Jesus said to the disciples in Matthew 6:33? He said, "But seek first." And that word "first" in the Greek means a priority above everything else. Nothing must come before this as a priority. He says, "But seek first." It's the ultimate priority of our lives. Seek first the Seek first Christianity.
Kingdom.
Seek first being born again.
Kingdom.
Jesus didn't preach being born again. He talked about it once. I'm so happy I was born again, folks, when I was 15 years old. But you see, the religion of Christianity has turned that for many people into the central thing. Can you see this? They turn that into the central message. And now what happens is, even though it's a truth, you see, a part truth is a lie. So when you turn being born again into the central part of your message, rather than kingdom, you ask someone then, "Are you born again?" "Yes, I was born again. Yes, I was born again. Yes, born again." "Oh, great." But that's all they've been taught. They've not been taught about the kingdom and the rule and reign of God on earth. They've prayed the Lord's Prayer many times. I don't know if they've ever believed it once. Because if they believe the Lord's Prayer, you have to then make kingdom a priority for your life. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If you believe that prayer when you pray it, you must make kingdom a priority. But what's happened, the religion of Christianity has duped many people and negated the possibilities of the scriptures by making the born-again thing the focus. The born-again thing should not be the focus. It's a way of describing the kingdom. Let's just turn. Come with me, please. Let's go quickly to John as we close here this morning. John 3. And let's just read here. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. No one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Unless he's born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God was the focus. The being born again is merely the doorway into the focus. Well, what's happened is people have made that the doorway and the focus. Can you see it, folks? Can you see it this morning? Listen, church, I promise you this. I promise you. If you can grasp hold of this, this changes everything. I promise you. You start reading the Bible as your constitution, everything will be different. And victory, you'll start seeing victory in life, in different areas of life. This kingdom is vital for us to understand this kingdom message. We'll go into it in further detail this evening. If you can make it this evening, we're going to go into this and teach further. There's a lot more to say about this. But we're going to close on this morning. As Emmanuel comes, we'll close in this. But even as we close, I'm going to give you four things that you can do. Okay? Four practical things that you can do regards a formula for kingdom faith. Faith is the most powerful tool in the kingdom. And the formula for kingdom faith is this. And this will help you. If you can take it on board. First of all, find out what God's word says for whatever you may be seeking in your life. You need healing? Find out what God's word says about healing. You need finances? Find out what God's word says about finances. You need a miracle of some kind? Find out what God's word says for those who are citizens of the kingdom. Find out what the constitution that you're a member of says. Once you find out, believe it. That's the second point. Believe it. The third point, refuse to consider any contradictory circumstances or evidence. If the doctor says, "Well, it's bad news," but you know God has spoken to you, you know it's good news, then you know it, you may have bad. Hallelujah. I'm healed. I don't care what the evidence is or what. I'm not going by the physical realm. We're walking in faith and the kingdom realm. It's a spiritual thing. But they don't understand it if they're not in the kingdom. That's the third thing. And the fourth thing, give praise to God for answering. You know, and as we start off in prayer, we should praise Him. We'll praise Him now, and as we do, if you've got a prayer need or anything, just come down to the front. But let's stand now. Father God, we thank you. Oh, we thank you and worship you, Lord. This glorious gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you for the truths of the scripture. I thank you for the constitution that we have. Hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Every eye closed, please. Let's just close our eyes as we respond to God and have an opportunity to respond to God this morning. Know this, my dear brothers and sisters. He loves you. He loves you so much. And He's for you. Any negative voices, ignore them. Put them to one side. Speak to them if they're agents of the enemy. Say, "No, I'm not having that. I will yield to God, submit to Him, resist the devil, and he will flee. And I'm going to enter into the fullness of what kingdom and being a citizen in the kingdom means for me. So Heavenly Father, we lift ourselves to you now then. And listen, if you've understood the kingdom message this morning, maybe it's the first time, maybe you've understood it for the first time in this way this morning, or maybe you've understood it before, but you've not really taken it on board as you feel convicted to this morning. You want to take this message of the kingdom on board. Respond to God now. I ask you and invite you now this morning to lift up your hand and respond to God. Say, yes, Lord, that's for me. That's for me. I'll have it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be shy, folks. Be humble before him and respond to him. Respond to him. You know, the Lord loves those who are humble enough to respond. The proud people, they never respond. Bless the darlings, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. For what you're doing in our hearts and minds this morning. Have your way with us, Lord. Let your will be done. Your kingdom come. And Father God, that we would be all that you've called us to be. And that we would live as citizens of your kingdom. With the constitution of the New Testament. And the victory thereof. And satisfaction knowing that we have worked the works of God in our lives. Oh, hallelujah. Have your way then, Father God. Have your way in and through our lives. Forevermore.